Dieser Huster gehört zu Nick Waterhouse. Aber er kann auch sonst ganz gut mit seiner Stimme umgehen. Haben wir auch gerade gehört. Some Place in der Morning Show am Nachmittag. Und Nick Waterhouse Musik, die funktioniert ganz einfach. Er sagt, na, jeder will ja irgendwie jemand anders sein. Und einer seiner Helden war damals Van Morrison. Und zum Beispiel dieser Mann, der fing ja damals an, Songs von Bobby Wall zu covern. Der wiederum hatte Nat King Cole als Idol. Und nach Nick Waterhouse Einschätzung ist es eben so, dass gerade durch diese Nachahmung man ja einen Weg beschreitet. Und dieser Weg, diese musikalische Reise, auf die man sich einlässt, die macht einen zu dem man später dann ist. Und Nick könnte man mit seiner Musik und mit seinem äußeren Erscheinungsbild locker in eine Mad Men-Episode stecken. Trotzdem klingt die Musik irgendwie noch wie im Hier und Heute. Und ich freue mich total, dass er heute bei uns zu Besuch ist. Und am Abend wird er dann im C-Club für euch aufspielen. Jetzt wollen wir ihn erstmal begrüßen. Ich habe genug gesabbelt. Herzlich willkommen, Nick Waterhouse. Welcome to Flux FM.
Thank you very much for that very long introduction.
Of course. My pleasure. So, you're from Huntington Beach. I've been there with my parents, I don't know, 20 years ago, all I remember is a parking ticket. It was really expensive.
I'm sorry about that. They don't joke around.
They don't?
Yeah. I'm from there. I was born there, but I'm not really from there. It's funny. It gets written about a lot,
okay. You know. So where are you originally from?
Oh, just inside my mind, you know. Like, there's an identity there that doesn't have a lot to do with, it, you know, it's... It's not who I am. I think that I really came of age in San Francisco. I moved there when I was 18, and that has a lot more to do with my personality than Huntington probably does.
But they say that you were in the DIY scene in South California messing around?
Yeah. I mean, when I was like 15, 16, 17, that was important, but I think that was also like very, very underground even then and existed as kind of a pocket separate from the culture that was down there.
Das ist ja auch 10 Jahre schon her. So the music that you did back then was much different from what you're doing now?
No, not really. No, but I was the one kid in a band that had an organ player, you know, like everybody used to compare us to like the Animals and the Yardbirds and that kind of stuff, which is all rhythm and blues based, you know. But when you're playing with bands that ended up being like, who were around then? Like Japanese Motors and like Epsilons, which was Ty Segall's first band with Charlie and Michael Cronin. You know, everything was a little raw around that community.
Vor gut 10 Jahren war er schon trotzdem in dieser 50s, sag ich mal, Soundecke, aber er war der Einzige, der einen Orgelspieler in seiner Band hatte und das war dann schon so ein bisschen exotenmäßig, aber trotzdem hat er seinen Sound in den letzten 10 Jahren weiter perfektioniert. Are you a perfectionist?
I think that's subjective. I think...
From top to toe?
From top to toe. No, I don't want to seem uptight to anybody. I just know what I want, you know? I don't know if that's perfectionist. I think perfectionists tend to strangle whatever they're working on, and I don't think I do that. I keep a loose grip.
You've got your own label, and I think last time you were here 2 years ago, you played with the Alalas.
Yes, yeah.
In the Lido.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you still support them? Are they with you sometimes?
Do I still support them?
You got the new album.
Do they
with them,
support
right?
me? No. I'm working on their new record right now. I actually just finished producing their second album. And we both started out, I put out their first 45 on my Prez label, which was what I put Someplace out on as well. And then we both ended up signing with Innovative Leisure out of Los Angeles, and I produced their full LP.
Congratulations. That's nice.
Thank you. I love that record so much. And, you know, it's been really cool to travel around and find people that seem to love it as much as I do. Yeah. I just feel privileged to have been a part of it. And, you know, I was like the fifth member on that project, which was really, I was very invested.
When comes the point when you first do music on your own or with your musicians and then you say, okay, I can do another band?
I was doing it all at the same time, actually.
Okay.
It's kind of a weird, it's not weird. It's like a really cool creation story where I was first getting the notion to cut Someplace. And at the same time, I was friends with Matt, the drummer from the Outlaws from way back. And he kept saying, like, I have a band. When you come down to LA, you should come by. And I remember dropping in and being apprehensive, like, oh, these guys are going to suck. I'll go support my friend's band. And when I saw them, it was like, we can do this. We can all do this. Like, this is what I've been needing. And they made me feel stronger for me. And I feel like I've made them feel stronger and like letting them know that we could make records together, you know, and that was...
It's a good way to start as a producer, I think.
Yeah, yeah. With somebody that you trust and you love and you totally identify with, because I wasn't just going to work with somebody else that I didn't know anything about, you know. That's kind of my rule with production.
Okay. Is that still your rule?
Yeah, I have to be passionate about it, otherwise I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it to make any money, you know. It's kind of like being an artist in a different way.
Ja, also er ist ja auch Produzent, denn er hat die LLS produziert und da habe ich ihn gefragt, wie war denn das so, wann kam der Zeitpunkt, wenn man als Künstler irgendwann sagt, so und jetzt kann ich auch mal eine Band selber produzieren und die groß rausbringen, und er sagt, das war ja gar nicht so, das lief alles gleichzeitig ab. Ich habe meine Musik gemacht und dann kam der Schlagzeuger von den LLS, das ist ein alter Freund von mir, der kam vorbei und sagt, oh, ich habe da ein paar Kumpels und die machen Musik und die sind super und wollen wir mal, komm doch mal vorbei, wenn die was spielen. Und dann dachte er schon, oh Gott, und als er dann dazu kam, merkte er, ja, das ist ja super, ich kann denen was geben und die können mir was geben, und so hat sich das alles zusammengefügt. Sehr schön. Und deswegen sind sie auch, they're the first signing on your label.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so now let's talk about Nick Waterhouse more, or let's listen to him. Heute Abend spielt er für euch auf im C-Club und er wird auch noch auflegen. Und zwar, das verraten wir euch gleich, wo das ist, hier in Berlin um 17 Uhr in einer Viertelstunde. Jetzt aber erstmal This is a Game und dann ist er gleich wieder hier zurück im Interview bei uns in der Morning Show am Nachmittag. This is a Game. Nick Waterhouse bei Flux FM in der Morning Show am Nachmittag. Heute Abend das Konzert im C-Club für euch. Ich habe mir gerade schon von Nick sagen lassen, es sind wohl ziemlich viele Karten schon verkauft worden. Es wird recht kuschelig. Wir wollen euch gleich auch noch natürlich auf die Gästeliste schreiben. Er wird auch noch groß reisen mit seiner Platte. Am Ende des Jahres geht es nach Australien oder auch nach Japan. Und you know what? I was looking on your press label page and there... You posted something from a Japanese, well, let me see, where have I got it? From a Japanese label that are making clothes from the 50s.
Taylor Cade, yeah.
Yes. Where did you discover them?
Well, he was a fan of mine, but I knew about him ahead of time because he's making these phenomenal suits and sport coats in Japan. And like all the Japanese, he's meticulous and obsessive about getting every detail right. So it's amazing when you go into his shop. I showed up and he like made us French press coffee and we put on jazz records and just went through his archives and
that was in Japan?
That was in Tokyo, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like being in like J Press or like a men's store in 1959 in there.
And then in Japan.
In Japan.
Does that exist in America as well?
It's hard to find in America. There's not really anything like that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also als er in Tokio war, da hat er dann so einen Typen kennengelernt, der wohl auch ein großer, he was a fan of yours.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And when I showed up, he was like really excited. And then he showed up with his Ivy League Yakuza later that night. It was like a table of 10 immaculate, like Ivy League fitted out Japanese guys that were all snapping their fingers. It was amazing.
That was for real?
That was for real.
But they're also in your video, right? Aren't they?
No. Those are all actors.
They remind me of that a little bit.
Oh, well, those guys are supposed to be more like businessmen. I mean, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. Mm. Yuhei and his gang in Tokyo were like really sharp, really hip guys. They're just Japanese, you know? The guys in the Someplace video were supposed to be a phenomenon known as salarymen, which is just like a social occurrence in Japan of drunk business guys.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
I saw and I heard. And you were drinking first fake champagne and then the real one.
Then it got real. Yeah.
Sometimes it has to get real.
Method, yeah.
Als er in Tokio unterwegs war, dann hat er eben diesen Fan von ihm getroffen und der hat einen total verrückten Laden, der 50er-Jahre-Klamotten macht und alles in diesem Style und ganz hochwertig und toll. And this man says, we know how to dress right or something like that.
Oh, I think the thing he says is, we're not snobs, but we know a few things about dressing. That's,
yeah.
I love that, yeah. That's a good philosophy to have.
Are there some clothes that you would never wear?
Sure.
What is it?
Oh, there's a list that's much longer than
jogging
the clothes
trousers.
I will wear there. Yeah, yeah, I'll never wear jogging trousers, as you call them. No track bottoms for me.
Are you really that strict?
It's not about strict. I just don't.
What do your parents say to your style?
Well, when I was young, they were confused, and now they just accept who I am.
Yeah. You know? The friends of your mother, they say, oh, he's dressing so well. What a nice guy. What a nice son you
have. Sure, yeah. Parents love me. Yeah.
I'm glad. For you, of course. Und wenn ihr ihn heute Abend sogar noch davor sehen wollt, vor dem heutigen Auftritt, um 17 Uhr wird auflegen. So you do the DJ set today at Dodo Beach Plattenladen am U-Bahnhof Eisenacher Straße, ist das? Do you DJ a lot?
I do DJ a lot. I spin records around Los Angeles. I used to do it a lot more in San Francisco before I was a touring musician, and it felt like being almost in a band because I would be like two or three nights a week spinning, and there was a really big community there. Now I don't get to do it as much as I like to, but I do run a party monthly in LA that is pretty cool called Look Here.
Nice. I have to write that down.
Yeah.
Look Here, where is that?
That's at Ham and Eggs Tavern on 8th and Olive Street in downtown LA. It's with Andres Renteria, who plays congas with me, and this really cool DJ named Lee Set. She's like an amazing soul and R&B DJ who's an LA native.
Great. And you've got so much vinyl at home that you're bringing today for the DJ thing, or do you have a stick?
No sticks.
No sticks allowed.
What they told me was that they had enough sort of comps and other things that I could pull from their shelves to play in the shop. Mm-hmm. So I'll be playing some of that and some of my friends like the Outlaws and Ty and White Fence. I just felt like it would be a cool thing to do that's different than an in-store. So
yeah,
whoever's interested should come hang around. It should be a good time.
It's better than laying on a hotel bed and waiting for the gig to start.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, heute Abend Dodo Beach Plattenladen um 17 Uhr, nicht am Abend, sondern am späten Nachmittag. Da wird er ein halbstündiges DJ-Set machen und das scheint ja legendär zu sein, wenn er in einem Club in L.A. schon immer auflegt. And it's probably, when you do it in L.A., it's really hot in there, right? Because people are dancing.
People dance. Yeah. It's a good scene. There's a cool little crowd of people that come and hang out at that thing. That's what I'm trying to make, you know?
Yeah, I see.
What, who are you looking at out the window and laughing?
I'm not laughing. Julia sitzt schon draußen und wartet darauf, dass ihr jetzt endlich für die Tickets heute Abend anruft. Im C-Club, Nick Waterhouse. Bitte schnell durchwählen, dann stellen wir euch auf die Gästeliste rauf. 030 2000 9000, 030 2000 9000. Und wir müssen hier jetzt schon wieder den Topf zumachen, denn die Stunde geht dem Ende entgegen. Nick, it was a pleasure talking to you.
It was my pleasure to come back by. Thanks for having me today.
And have fun tonight. Do your best. I'm coming.
I will. For you, I'll do my best.
Und wir hören noch einen Song. Dead Room, Nick Waterhouse. Thank you very much.
Thank you.